Usually I pick on the young folks in Boudreaux. This is about us. Us old folks. Y'all know who y'all are. I ain't gonna call no names. I'll be the captain, but the rest of y'all know who y'all are. Husband and wife had this conversation about who's got the worst memory lost, okay? So she said, you can't remember nothing, man. He says, no, it's you that's bad. So one day she was on the phone talking to her girlfriend, and she says, I'm going to test him. I'm going to show him that he's got a worse memory than I do. So she called him and asked him to go in the kitchen and make her a milkshake. She said, I want strawberry juice. I want cherries on the top. I want strawberries. She says, okay. He come back with grits and eggs. She said, I told you had the worst memory. Where's the bacon? That's it? That's it. I'm not giving you a number. I thought that was a great one. It sounds just like me. You know, you go in the bathroom and say, what did I come in here for? Anybody ever done that? Yeah. I bet some of you young folks has done that too, huh? Yeah. See, we got an excuse. We old. As the old guy I watched on Sunday morning, well, he died. Pastor Salem from Utah somewhere. He said one day a little boy asked him, was he on Noah's Ark? He says, no, I wasn't on Noah's Ark. He said, well, why you didn't drown? But anyway, we old folks don't get no respect. Anyway, I was supposed to start a new thing today on hyperdispensationalism, but I went over my notes on TULIP and election, and I found so much stuff. I said, you know, I think I'll do one more time. I put this in that I left out the first time. And it's talking about really the bride of Christ. Then one would have to ask, how do we become the bride of Christ? Did God elect us way back in the Old Testament? Say, well, you're going to be the bride of Christ, and you're not. That's not how he did it. On your handout, I don't know if everybody got one. I think I made about 30 or 35. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, for those who don't have one. And I got one more if somebody, who didn't get one? I got one more. High is the bidder. We'll start with $10. Who starts at $10? $50. $60. Y'all better hurry because it's going way up. Anyway, how do we become the bride of Christ? In 2 Corinthians, Paul makes this statement. Now, Paul here is talking about this whole chapter. He's talking about another spirit, another gospel, and that's all this kind of stuff is. TULIP and election, that's just another gospel. I don't care how you look at it. It's another gospel. If it's not the gospel, it's another gospel, right? Paul said, I present unto you the gospel. Definite article, the gospel. So there's not two gospels. There's not three. There's one. So Paul writes, talking about these fake angels of light, ministers of self-made ministers of righteousness. That's the whole chapter. That's what he's talking about. But he begins the chapter like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul said, I wish to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly. Paul said, my foolishness. If y'all want to be foolish, I can be foolish. He said, and indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And y'all can see what the Greek word is there. Espouse and betrothed, same words. They're synonymous. If you look at the Greek, they're going to be the same words. Now let's look at an example in Matthew. What does he mean by espousing a betrothed? Well, that's what happened to Mary. Look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And we're going to see how this all plays out. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. That's before they really got married, right? Before they had, you know, the things that you need to do to have a child. He says she was found with child by the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, well, how could he call Joseph a husband and it wasn't married? So when you see the word espoused and betrothed, God counts it as marriage. It's going to happen. So Paul says back here that we've been espoused to Christ, which makes us what? His bride, right? So now if we go through all of Paul's writings, Paul's going to see exactly what happened. Look in verse 19 of Matthew. Verse 19 says, Joseph, a husband. Wait a minute. He's not a husband. But in the sight of God, that's her husband, because in espousement, you are married. He couldn't have broken it if he wanted to. Back in Jewish tradition, you couldn't break it. And it goes on to explain to you how this worked. He was legally bound to her. She was legally bound to him. What would happen if the Jewish boy would propose, become espoused or betrothed, to the girl, then he would go away and build an addition on his father's house. When it was complete, when it was ready, he'd come back for the bride. That's exactly what Christ's doing to us. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my father's house are many mansions. In my father's house are many mansions. That lucky, fortunate, blessed Greg Durrell. It's already in that portion of God's house that the husband had built for his bride. But he also promised, he said, but I will come again and receive you unto myself. Just like the Jewish boy would do. Because they were legally married. Legally married. I will come back and receive you unto myself. Now you say, well, how does all this happen? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How do we become the bride? Well, you believe the gospel, that's to me like the engagement ring. You're hooked. You can't get out of it. You believe the gospel, guess what? That's like God putting an engagement ring on you and said, that's it. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, I put the signet ring on you. That's it. You're espoused. You're betrothed to God, your husband. That's why it calls us the bride of Christ. He didn't elect you way back when. He said you're going to become the bride once you believe the gospel. And then by foreknowledge, I'm going to predestinate you to become sons and daughters of me. Also, you're going to become my bride. That's a pretty good deal for us, isn't it? So no, it's not by God electing you. Yeah, God elected you because you chose him. You chose the offer that he had on the table. And that is his death, burial, and resurrection. for the payment of your sin and to give your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. By one spirit I will baptize into one body, whether you be Jew or Gentile, whether you be bond or free, we are made to drink into one spirit. So the moment you believe the gospel, this is no water here, this is a spiritual baptism, God takes you out of the world, puts you into Christ. You become his body. And we function here on earth as his body. It's better the hand, mean the eye. I don't say what some of us are, but we're just as important. There's no unimportant part of the body. So what Paul is saying here, you become the bride the moment you get in Christ. And you can only get in him by believing the gospel, that he has paid your sin debt and has given you his life. That's not complicated, right? Isaiah chapter 42, for those of you who don't have a handout, Isaiah chapter 42. We talked about that in the beginning. Talked about this in the beginning. Who is the elect? Who's the number one elect? Well, we know Israel is, but the number one elect is Christ himself. That's what the writer of, that's what Isaiah says in the 42nd chapter, that God, Jesus Christ, God sees Christ as his elect, right? So what happens when you get into Christ? You become elect. How did you get in Christ? Baptized by the Spirit into the body. So now you're put into the elect, which makes you elect. Not God choosing you way back before the foundation of the world and say, you elect, you not. If that be the case, Paul could not write in Colossians chapter 2, as you have received Christ, walk ye in him. Well, if you didn't receive him, how can you walk in it? So it had to be a will somewhere, right? I received him by faith through grace, right? So now I'm going to walk in him that way. And that faith tells me I'm just waiting for him to come back for me. He's preparing my place. He's going to come back and receive the bride. Revelation 21 tells you who that bride. These are the bride of Christ. These are God's wife. Don't get no plainer than that, right? And the only way you can become that, folks, is believe the gospel. Simply believe the gospel. I see Greg up there saying, that's right, that's right, that's right. So my wife, oh, that's right, that's right, that's right. You know, and many of us are just sweating and fuming and trying to be pleasing to God, try to make God accept us and try. And God says, stupid, you accepted in the beloved. You want to be accepted? Get in the beloved. And to get in the beloved, I offer you a free gift. That is the gospel. Believe the gospel and I put you into Christ. And if you're into Christ, then just wait for the extraction. All of a sudden, you're going to be absent from the body, present with him. Or he's going to break through the clouds and snatch you out of here. One way or the other, you're going to that place that he's preparing for you. He'll be finished very soon. Preparing those places, and then we're out of here. He's coming back for his bride, right? Now, the other way of looking at this, when people talk about eternal life, God, who you espouse to when you believe, he would have to divorce you. What kind of God does that tell us not to divorce, but he's going to divorce us, right? Man, look at Israel. As soon as he got them out of bondage, they start to They started to commit adultery as soon as they got on dry land, right? And what is it? Where you say, Israel, you're going a-whoring. But guess what? You're still my wife, those that believe. Man, this is a pretty good promise. When you look at all the angles that God put in his word for us to open it and read and get our heads around it, man, you can be bold in this message because all this is of God. Billy sang this song this morning. It's not about our faith. It's about his faithfulness, right? So if you could take that little teeny bit of your faith, size of a mustard seed, and attach to his faithfulness, you're going to grow by leaps and bounds. God is faithful. He says it. He means it, right? If I say I'm coming back for you, I'm coming back for you. But I want you to understand who I'm coming back for and why I'm coming back. Now, here's another. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 125. Here's how Peter puts it. Talking about his word. Peter says this, that his word endures forever. And this is the words which by the gospel is preached unto you. Right? By the gospel. That's the end of chapter 1. Go right into chapter 2 and watch what Peter says. We're always running about salvation by works. No, works is because you're God's elect. Not because you try to get some from God. It's because you got some from God. Right? You got life. You got life everlasting. You're waiting for the ejection. You're waiting for to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Peter says this, wherefore lay aside malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envious. Boy, I could tell my family that. And all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If it be so, you have tasted. You know, how many places in the Bible you see the word taste? It's like you've sampled, man. Dig in a little bit deeper. Dig in a little bit deeper and see what the full flavor is like. Peter's saying, if you taste it, that the Lord is gracious. Anybody know the Lord is gracious? See, that's the whole crux of it. People see God as a law God, not as a gracious God. But it's if you've seen that he is gracious. And then he's called what? A living stone indeed of all men, of men. But chosen of God. What that makes him? Elect, right? Precious. Ye also as a lively stone are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone. Elect, that's Christ. Precious. And he that believe on him shall not be confounded. He that believes on him or he that is elected? He that believes on this elect one, as Isaiah spoke about, has now become God's elect because you enter elect one. And the Bible said that you will not be confounded or made ashamed. You will not be ashamed. To come into Christ, he's not going to say, I never knew you. He can't say that. It's impossible because he can't lie. Paul said to God whom promised eternal life and cannot lie. So that's what we rest on. May we rest on God's coming back for his church, his bride, his children, however you want to say it. He's coming back for us. Simply because we're in that elect one. And how'd you get that? By believing the gospel. Simply by believing the gospel. No other way. Simply by believing the gospel. In your Bibles, off the lesson here, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Paul writes this. Paul said, though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but we don't have many fathers. Now what Paul is saying to these people, I'm the one that led y'all to Christ. That's why he called himself their father. It said, for in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. So what do you got to do with the gospel? You got to believe it, right? So is that election? Yes, because you got an elect one. And God knew that you would believe. That's why he calls you predestinated. That's why he says by his foreknowledge. It is totally crazy for the hyper-Calvinist people to say that God chooses some and rejects others. Begotten. He begotten. Where do you find that word, begotten, that made it so famous? John 3:16. He gave his only begotten son. The word the begotten is to put you in a right relationship with God. So Christ always had a right relationship with God. And if you're in Christ, you got a right relationship with God. To me, man, that's the greatest reason to walk upright is anything in the whole scripture. You say, oh, I can do it by law. Well, let's interview Israel and see how they made out with the law. If they had done okay with the law, then Christ shouldn't have had to die on the cross, right? If they had done all right with the law, they shouldn't have had to sacrifice bulls and goats, right? That's why God said, with those sacrifices, I was not well pleased. I accepted them for a time until the full payment was made known. Now you've got the mystery that's no longer a mystery. Christ died for the sins of the world. That's the mystery. Christ lives on the inside of you. That's the mystery. Man, the angels want to look into this grace that was to come, but they could not see it. Now God has made it known to us through his holy word. You are my bride. I'm coming back for you. So now the question to you and the question to me, how should we be living knowing that he's going to come back at any time? You answer that question. Because I shudder a little bit when I have to answer. In Ephesians chapter 1, once again, how do we become the bride? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, for those of you who don't have the handout, Ephesians 1 verse 3, Paul writes this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. There's a word with elect. One of those words is chosen. Another one is predestination, predestinate, call. All those words just kind of work together. but it always ties with the gospel. Paul said, I call you by our gospel. He called you by our gospel. You hear it, you believe it, you're predestinated. God foreknowledge knew that you would. He put you into him. This is not complicated. Man, God knows a little stuff. Y'all realize that? People say, oh, but you know, I do this. Well, let me read a verse to you. Don't turn there. Romans 5:10. While you were yet enemies. Oh, God, you knew I was going to be an enemy? Yes, that's why I came. That's why I had to reconcile you. I had to bring peace. Because two enemies fight all the time. But I came, Paul said, we come and we preach what? Peace. Man, the Bible says you've been reconciled. If you've been reconciled, then you are set up for salvation. Simply believe that God wants to save you from yourself. Man, if Adam couldn't handle it with one commandment, how you think Israel made it with 613? You think they did all right? You think you're doing all right? All that stuff is just another gospel. Man, I deal with it all the time. I hear people, oh, well, you know, my pastor or my... Well, okay, what you giving me, another gospel? Who are you following? Are you following Christ? Are you following some man? Are you following some denomination? Are you following... And man, it's all over the place. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the prison. And it's customary, before I teach anything, I'll ask, is there any questions? Because these guys are always having Bible studies and, you know, during the week, and all kinds of questions come up. You know, you got the Mormons and you got the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I'll always ask if there's any question. There's one guy, says, yeah, I got a question. I said, okay. He said, what is the kingdom of heaven? I said, well, and before I could start to answer it, he answered it. He said, the kingdom of heaven is in me because it comes out of me every day. And you know, and God talks to me, and God, and I didn't listen. You got two guards sitting in the back, and they looking at me, and they just shaking their head, and I'm shaking my head, you know, and I said, wait a minute, young man, time out. I said, you can come up here, bring your Bible, and everything you share with these guys, give them a chapter and give them a verse. He said, no, I don't need that because God talks to me. I said, well, okay, we can buy into that too. But how do you know it's God? I said, what if it says totally opposite of what his word says? No, that don't happen. That don't happen. He said, and I hear you always talking about about death, you're always talking about sickness, and those words should not come out of a Christian's mouth. So I said, okay, I know I'm gonna deal with this. So I tell one young man, I said, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. And the next thing he comes over, I said, you turn to Matthew chapter, and I get all the verses lined up, and when he finished, I said, now read Hebrews 9. He says, appointed unto man wants to die. I said, well, I think God knew that we was going to die, right? He said, no, we ain't supposed to die. The Bible said that some men are going to live forever. I said, yeah, that's true. We're all going to live forever. I said, if you can call being in hell living, I said, but you're going to live. You couldn't be tormented day in and day out. You wasn't alive. I said, but I'm going to be in heaven rejoicing, having a banana split with all my memory, you know, ain't gonna tell somebody to make me a sundae and come back with grits and eggs. I'm gonna be whole, you know. He said, no, I'm telling you. He said, and my grandma died. I said, whoa, time out. Your grandma, you let your grandma die? He said, I was in jail. So the guards in the back said, sit down and shut up. So when he sat down, the whole lesson I had, I put it aside just to show everybody how silly he was without saying you silly. Just going through the scriptures and reading what thus said the Lord, you know. And I said, you know, now he apologized at the end. He said, well, I'm sorry. Because this guy had been, I had seen him a couple of times and he never said nothing. He just sat there and he listened, you know, and he'd take notes and whatever. But this time, plus he told me, he said, how you going to teach the word of God with a cap on? I said, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, but it's just, that's the kind of stuff that you see. And you say, Lord, I see there's a reason for me coming here, because this guy will just blow the minds of a lot of those guys that have started to come to the knowledge of the truth. But it's just that you got another gospel all over the place. I don't care what color it is. I don't care what the label says. I don't care. It's inside of that can is another gospel. There's the gospel and there's another gospel. I don't care if it be Tulip. I don't care if it be hype or this or hype or that. God says, I want you to know, so I'm going to speak to you in these last days through my son. Hear him, believe what you're hearing, apply it to your life. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's not about God choosing some. It's not about whether there were two gospels, which is another thing the hybrid dispensationalists teach. They don't say that, but they plainly teach two gospels. The one Peter had, the one Paul has. And it's amazing, Paul makes statements like this, talking about one of the leaders. Paul said he was a Christian before me. Well, if you was a Christian before Paul, where'd you get your gospel from? If Paul's got the only gospel to... You see how foolish that is? And why would you curse Peter and everybody else but Paul? Because Paul said, if anybody preach any other gospel, let him be a curse, right? So if Peter's preaching another gospel, then Peter's a curse, right? But anyway, that's another topic for another time. Was in Ephesians, back to the paper. Born again in Christ. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That's all betrothed, that's all begotten is. Once you're begotten, you're put in a right relationship with God, because you're in his son, and God said, in whom I'm well pleased. If you're in him, then God's well pleased with you. So let's learn how to live that way. Verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now that's a double whammy, a double good thing, right? Predestinated us by adoption. In other words, this is where God chooses you. He walks into this world, which is an orphanage, with a bunch of little babies out there, right? And he say, hey, here's what I want to do. I want to give you life. And that child that says, I want your life, he adopts them. He don't just walk in and say, I'm going to adopt you, whether you want to be adopted or not. It's got to be your choice. You make the decision. I believe what you did for me. I accept, I receive what you did for me. Then you go home with him. And now you got the much more justification. Those kids left behind at the orphanage, they don't get nothing. But it was their choice. They made the choice to be adopted. God says, okay, I want to adopt everybody. That's why I died for the sins of the whole world. But everybody ain't going to accept it. Some are going to say, I want it. Some are going to say, I got another way. Some are going to say, well, we got 3 or 4 other ways. Some are going to just say, I don't want to hear about none of that at all. But in the end, those that said yes to the gospel, they're adopted. And if you're adopted, he can't disinherit you. God wasn't married with a wife where he had children. He adopted his kids. And then when he adopted his kids, he says, that's it. It's a done deal. You adopted. Now you get the much more justification because you're in the house. So, oh, but I'm adopted. You can do whatever you want to do. You can go out into the foreign country. You can go in the hog pen. You can do whatever, because this is not by law. It's by grace. But I guarantee you, he knew how to bring you back. No question about it. But can you ever be lost? Impossible. It is totally impossible. If it's possible for you to be lost and you not to be the bride of Christ, first of all, he has to divorce you. Secondly, he has to take you as an adopted child out of the will. Oh, but you said I was adopted forever. So you told a lie. No, it's not by anything we do. It's all by what he's done. Predestinated us according to the purpose of him. You know, this is the thing that gives me all the confidence in the world. It was because of his purpose, not my purpose. God said, you're lost. You're lost in trespasses and sins. And man, if I can get you to recognize that and realize that, and you come inside, man, you are hooked forever. I will never leave nor forsake you. That is my purpose. I would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, if you're going to have all men to be saved, you must have given me the opportunity to accept you or to reject you. Who was it Paul witnessing to? And he said, was it Felix? Somebody. I was almost persuaded. I almost used my will to say yes. Paul said, I wish to God that you had. So that must mean that you good, right? Man, God choosing some and kicking others to the curb. What kind of God is that? Boy, that's a great God, isn't it? Yeah, I gave you the gospel, but you got no power to believe it. Now I got to send you to hell for eternity. Well, God, I couldn't believe it. Why would you send me to hell? Why would you put it in front of my face and say, here's the gospel, but I know you can't believe it. And yet you got Paul to write, I preach Christ crucified. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. I almost get tired of Paul saying it. I glory in the cross because it's the only fixer of mankind. That's what Paul says. Now, God also said, Adam, the day that you eat, you should surely die. Choice. volition. Then he tells me and you, even though you were dead, if you believe, you should live and never die. That's volition. In the bride of Christ adopted, man, you locked in all kinds of ways. So somebody's going to tell me that I can't choose God. Well, I'm here to tell you I did already. Too late. You know why? Because I know he chose me from the foundation of the world. And I know he will put that burden on my heart. Just as he says, I will send the Spirit and he will convict, he will convince. Sounds like volition to me, right? What are you going to convince me or convict or convince me of if I don't have the power to believe? Ephesians chapter 2, down at the bottom of that page. I'm going to hop, skip through to get through it. The one way is through the cross. Whether you become a bride, whether you become adopted, any of that is through the cross. And it's a common salvation for everybody. Not one for you and one for me. Not hyper. Peter's got one. Paul's got one. Here's what Paul writes in Ephesians verse 11. Paul says, wherefore, remember, sometime you being in the past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now, if Paul is making me remember how I used to be, then I must have made a choice to be something else, right? And he's going to tell us that. That in the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, are made now by the blood of Christ. That's the gospel, right? In other words, Israel had the covenants, right? Gentiles didn't have nothing. They was pagans. But Paul says in 14, for our peace, who has made one, ain't no two now, ain't no three, it's not the nation of Israel, it's not you, it's not me, it's not the Samaritans, it's one common salvation. That's through the blood of the cross. Now he's made what? One new man. Why? Because you believe the cross. One new man. Those Jews that are in Christ is my brothers and my sisters. And we're the same to them. Thus making peace. Well, what's the peace? The reconciliation. Christ came reconciling the world. God said, look, there's peace now. Sinful man, as the Holy Spirit convinces, you can believe the gospel. And once you believe the gospel, man, I said you become the bride, you become the elect, you become the adopted, you become everything that we need for life and godliness. So we're just waiting for him to come through the clouds to bring us back to that place that he's prepared for us, as the Jewish boy did for his espoused, betrothed wife. So man, the Bible gives us all kind of ways that we're locked in. Ephesians chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. Well, he tells a man, what? Love your wife as I love the church, right? Right? And gave himself for it. So would God ask man to be greater than him? God know you can't love your wife like he loved the church. But that's the highest standard that he gives us to show us his love for us. God said, I guarantee you, I can love you because I died for you. I gave myself for you. And last but not least, everybody remember the thief on the cross, right? Did he not use volition to accept Christ as king? Did he not say, I deserve to be here? My deeds has got me here? Because the word there translated, y'all know the word that they use. That was somebody that continually did evil. That's what those guys want to, they continually did evil. So what he says, I was one that continually did evil. You've done nothing. You are the king. I believe that you have a kingdom. See, he didn't say that. Yes, he did. Remember me when you come into thy kingdom. And Christ says, today, you shall be with me in paradise. He didn't say, oh, I didn't elect you back when. You ain't in. Is that what he said? No. Anyway, in Christ, you're an elect one. You got all the promises that God has promised you. You're his bride, his adopted kids, your seal. You can't get away. So you may as well learn how to live the Christian life here. Yeah, not so easy. Lord, what would you have me to do? Peter told you. Peter said, look, lay aside this, lay aside this. Why? Because you're God's elect. Not because you're trying to become elect. Anyway, I close in prayer. Lord, again, we thank you for that we are indeed your elect. Based on what you knew. Based on you knowing that we would accept that perfect sacrifice that you sent your son to perform. And when he cried from the cross, it was finished. That is what we rest, Lord. We rest in the idea that you did all the work. You finished the work before the foundation of the world. And Lord, now you simply ask us to be co-laborers with you now that we are in you. And all those things we do now, Lord, is simply going to be judged at the judgment seat of you. And that's in heaven. And Lord, we thank you for it, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that motivates us to do those things that we know are pleasing to you. And we don't know those things except we ingest the word. We open the book and see what it is, Lord, that you want to do in and through us. You saved us for a purpose. You sanctified us, set us apart, that we might represent you. You took us out of this evil world, Lord, but you didn't, you know, you didn't, you left us in this world spiritually. So, Lord, let us, as we walk through this wicked world, share you with somebody so that they might become the bride. They may become the adopted. They may become the one that is sealed until the day of redemption. And Lord, we'll give all the honor and all the glory to you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.